This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director here for the CTF. I'm in Lethbridge. And my good friend Franco Terrazano, he is holding down the fort in Mordor for us in the capital. He is our federal director of the Taxpayers Federation. Now, I had a really fun time reminiscing with my old friend Rob Snow about this on the air of back in my day when I first covered the federal budget. We had Blackberries, but they didn't really work very well. We had to type everything on this old laptop that had no internet connection, and we saved it onto a floppy disk and then walked it back over from Parliament Hill down to the Boward Market to the CFRA radio station. Nowadays, you were in the, do we still have a lockup? You were covering the budget. You were there. You were our agent on the ground. Do they still have a lockup? Do you still physically go to a building? What was that like?
Well, it was awful. I had to read this 430-page garbage. Like, it was the worst. Yeah. No, I was in lockup for like 3 or 4 hours or something like that, reading this so-called budget. I mean, like, the reason I say so-called budget is because, I mean, normally when you budget, you gotta, you know, pick what you want to spend on, pick what you want to cut back on. They're doing none of this. Just spend more money on everything forever. So look, like, we knew it was going to be a bad budget, but it was bad. And, you know, sometimes when somebody does something bad, you don't even get mad. You just get kind of impressed, you know, like, wow, how did you even manage to bungle it up this bad? That's kind of what I felt like going through that 430-page budget from the Trudeau government.
You ate an entire wheel of cheese?
Yeah, there it is.
I'm impressed. So what barked at you the loudest then when you were looking at this thing? What's the worst thing?
Well, welcome to Canada, where you pay a federal sales tax so Prime Minister Justin Trudeau can cover the interest charges on his government's credit card. Yep. Interest charges on the debt this year will cost us taxpayers $54 billion, which is the exact same amount of money that the federal government is pulling in through its sales tax. Okay. So every penny that the Trudeau government collects through its sales tax, that's going to pay interest on the federal debt. One more little nugget for you out there, because I know you all want to barf, is the federal interest charges are costing Canadian taxpayers more money than what the federal government will send to the provinces and health transfers. Okay, so what would happen if we didn't have this debt and the debt interest charges? Well, there's a couple things. You could completely eliminate the GST, or you could double health transfers. But instead, these massive deficits mean that interest charges on the government credit card are now costing taxpayers more than $1 billion every single week. Yuck.
Okay. I think we really need to highlight this, okay? Because the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we were started back in 1990. You know, new kids were topping the charts. This, I think it was before you were here with us on this side of Earth.
Yeah, I wasn't even alive then, folks. Yeah.
I always feel so old talking to you. Okay, so back in 1990, the Alberta Ratepayers Association and the Saskatchewan Ratepayers Association teamed up in their anger against something called the GST. Why I'm raising this, okay? Because this is foundational to the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, to people wanting lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. And so I just find it sadly poetic that now we are blowing $1 billion a week, every week?
More than $1 billion a week on interest charges. More than $1 billion a week on interest charges.
Okay, we could eliminate the GST. This is the cost equivalency here, folks. And also, you know, the other sacred cow of Canada is our healthcare system. The amount of money the feds send to the provinces for healthcare is now being eclipsed by this. It is just shocking. Was there any indication of contriteness or shame or, you know, we know we're screwing this up, but we're really going to try hard for the next generation? Like, what was the tone coming out of the finance department and from Freeland?
Yeah, so this might have been the most bizarre part of the 4 hours that I was there. And that's saying a lot, because the whole thing I was reading, I'm like, really, you're going to lock that in? That's what you're going to do? Okay. But even the title of the budget was Fairness for Every Generation. And, you know, Freeland and Trudeau are saying this budget is for future generations. Well, hold on a second, because officially, as of this year, the Trudeau government will have doubled the entire national debt. 9 years in office, and they doubled the entire national debt. Okay. When they came into office after the 2015 election, the debt was $600 billion. The debt now is more than $1.2 trillion. So in less than a decade, the Trudeau government somehow managed to double the entire federal government debt. So hold on a second. Let's think about this, right? They're saying that this budget is for future generations. Well, it's Canadians' kids and grandkids who are going to have to be making payments on this federal debt for the rest of their lives. There's nothing fair about that.
No, there sure isn't. So you bring up the debt, and we have a few things around here at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation that we use as educational tools. One of them is a gigantic freaking truck with the federal debt on a screen bolted on either side of it. You and I drove it from the west coast of BC all the way here to Lethbridge. Thank you very much. It's how I discovered Lethbridge. So that was fun, kind of. We made it here. And then you took the whole thing the rest of the way across the country and you brought it to Ottawa in time for the budget. And one of the images that is left over from our old versions of the debt clock for folks at the Taxpayers Federation is this great image of young people pulling what is an equivalent of a debt clock behind them. And that is basically our youth group called Generation Screwed. And it's based on the debt. So the very fact that now the finance minister is saying this is for the next generation, like in what realm of reality is saddling the next generation or two with this kind of debt even correct? How is this even like the right or moral thing to do?
I don't know. We live in like a crazy clown world, you know, where taxes make you better off. Taxes put more money in your pocket. More debt is better for the future generation. I mean, like sometimes, like I said, you get like somebody saying something and it's so out of left field that you just don't know how to respond. You know, it's like the dog tip your head left a little bit or something like that. But, you know, let me also bring up, because you asked me earlier, like, what's one of the craziest things about that? And we talked about how the interest charges on the federal debt are now more than $1 billion every week. The fact that every time you pay the sales tax, that money's just going to pay interest on the debt. The fact that the interest charges are now more than what the feds send to the provinces in health transfers. The fact that the Trudeau government will have doubled the national debt this year in like 9 years in office. But there's one other thing that really stood out to me. And that's the fact that the government is running a $40 billion deficit this year in 2024. Like, we're not in a pandemic.
Nope.
You know, how in the world are you running a $40 billion deficit? And Chris, the best that this government is willing to muster is, hey, folks, don't worry. We pinky promise that in 5 years, we'll bring the deficit all the way down to $20 billion. That's the best that they're willing to do.
Okay. So I need to really highlight this. Okay. Because back, you mentioned 2015, that was an election year. I remember distinctly then Prime Minister Stephen Harper making fun of now Prime Minister Justin Trudeau saying, don't worry, there'll be deficits. But Trudeau assures us there'll be little itty bitty deficits. Little itty bitty tiny deficits. You can barely see them. You have to squint. $40 billion. And like you said, we're not in the middle of a pandemic. The Huns are not at the gate. Okay. Things should be pretty normal sauce right now. Like, I know they're not because you mentioned the clown world, but things are not like in a crisis. What is their excuse? Like, did you hear any of that tone? Like, are they explaining themselves even? Because I need to stress this. They're not even planning to balance the budget, folks. Okay. Remember when Prime Minister Justin Trudeau kind of flippantly said, oh, the budget will balance itself. He actually said something more serious. He said he would balance the budget by 2019. And he did not, in epic fashion, he did not. So is there any tone coming from these politicians or that you heard from the press gallery saying, guys, what's going on?
Well, I do think I've even seen like some reporters in the media and mainstream media, a lot of articles, like columnists saying like, what's going on here? Like they're spending like crazy. There's a massive deficit, and the massive deficit, the reason it's so big Is because they're spending like crazy. Okay. Like, we knew they were spending like crazy before COVID-19. In fact, in like 2018, the federal government was already spending all-time highs, even after accounting for inflation and population growth. Okay. So in 2018, there was no pandemic, there was no cross-country recession. And yet Trudeau still somehow managed to spend more money than the federal government did when we were fighting the Nazis. Like, it was crazy. And then COVID-19,
adjusted for inflation, folks, adjusted for inflation. He did that math. It was crazy.
And population growth So, yeah, I mean, I like to nerd out every now and then. And that's why, well, that's why my best friend is my cat, Ludwig. But then during the pandemic.
Named after an economist, by the way. Yeah. Sorry, and then, go ahead. I digress.
And then the pandemic happens and the government uses the pandemic as a cloud cover to go on this debt fueled spending binge. And then the pandemic, we're not in one, and instead of like returning back to some semblance of fiscal normalty or normalcy or whatever, the federal government is just continuing the spending spree. Okay, so let me give you one more example here. You have in the last budget, the finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, she said we would find $15 billion in savings over a handful of years.
I remember she got a lot of headlines out of that.
Oh, she sure did. Oh, yeah. She sure did. Well, guess what, folks? This year, Freeland is increasing spending by $37 billion. $37 billion increase, okay? Well, when you increase spending by more than $30 billion in 1 year, you're not saving money, right?
I love that it's more than double what she had promised to find in savings. Like, she didn't just double, like, over the overspending from what she found and wanted to find in savings. She, like, trumped it by another, what, seven, you said? 37?
$37 billion.
Okay. All right. Are those most of the tidbits that came out of the budget? I think I saw, I had to look away because I started seeing red. Did I see that right? Did the CBC get more money? Did they get what, $40 million more now?
Yeah, $42 million bucks because you got to pay your executive bonuses somehow. Hey, Chris.
Yeah. Okay. And what Franco obviously is referring to is, of course, this big dog and pony show that happened at the committee up on Parliament Hill when the CEO of the CBC, Catherine Tait, who's paid somewhere in the ballpark between 400,000 and 600,000 ish per year. Okay, so mega bucks. So she was hauled in front of committee and she went through this whole song and dance about whether or not they would hand out bonuses that year. In fact, she was even on her own program, The National. I thought I was asleep. I thought I was having a fever dream. Adrian Arsenault, the anchor, was quoting the Taxpayers Federation with our numbers, saying, I forget what it was, $14 or $15 million they had spent on bonuses, asking her, grilling her boss, saying, is it going to happen this year? Number one, Tait didn't answer the question. Number two, yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Handed out, they had, spoiler alert, they handed out bonuses anyway. And so that's what Franco's referring to. But this is over and above, like $40 million. That more than covers, you know, the extra bonuses. I shudder to think what we're going to find out through Freedom Information on what the rest of the money is going to. Any other weird ones that jumped out at you? Any brand new forms of spending or new taxes that you wanted to flag for our listeners?
Well, the big one is like also all the corporate welfare that's happening. Like, I feel like all a company has to do these days is just say clean or green, and they're going to get a bucket of cash courtesy of the federal government, of course, Canadian taxpayers. There was another one, too, that jumped out at me that the government is spending like tens of millions of dollars extra for the gun ban and confiscation scheme. Now, you might remember, right? The government is banning a bunch of guns and then doing a buyback program. Like, they've already spent millions of dollars without buying back a single gun. And now there's tens of millions of dollars extra for this confiscation scheme. And it's the exact same one where even the RCMP, the Mounties Union, was like, this ain't going to make Canada more safe. And like, no duh. Like, look, I'm not exactly an expert of the streets here, right? But like, I'm pretty sure if you're a gangster, you're not going to bring your illegal gun to a government office. You know what I mean? So like, by definition, they're going after law-abiding citizens. And, you know, the RCMP union here, they even made like a really good point in the sense of like, not only will it not improve safety, but it can make safety worse. It can make Canada less safe because you're diverting police resources from actually going after criminals to going after law-abiding citizens.
Big time, big time. And for folks who are gunnies who are watching this, yes, we know. We know it's not a buyback because you didn't buy your gun from the government to begin with. We get it. We're just using that term because that's what everybody calls it. Frank was right when he calls this a confiscation. And for folks who do not own firearms, I'm a firearms owner, as is most of my family. If you don't own firearms, okay, just wait until the state decides to come after something of your private property that it decides is suddenly illegal and it is going to take from you. I am amazed that they're managing to blow this much money without having confiscated a single firearm yet, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised because, man, it's all a retro show today. The Taxpayers Federation was instrumental in fighting against the so-called long gun registry. The long gun registry, for people who don't know, was infamous during the Liberal Chrétien government. At first, it was supposed to be a little itty-bitty cost of a registry. It's only supposed to cost $2 million. By the time the gun smoke cleared on this thing, it was close to $2 billion. They reversed the letters. It was wild. And again, same old song. Okay. These were hunters. These were duck hunters. These are sports shooters, right? These are ranchers. Okay. Who keep these guns around as tools, right? To take out coyotes and other, I guess you'd call them adjutants, things that are going after their animals. And it wasn't saving anybody. It wasn't making the streets safer because, like Franco points out, it's not like suddenly some criminal gangster goes, hey, you know what? This firearm I'm using to commit this crime is illegal. I should go register it and or turn it over to the government. That's not how this works, folks, but it's how Ottawa works because they're still wasting your money on it. Anything else that jumped out at you that was a new tax that people should be bracing themselves for?
Yeah, there was a capital gains tax increase, okay? So capital gain is essentially just like when you sell an asset, you sell an investment, and you make a profit off of it. Okay, so they hike this capital gains tax. But here's the thing, right? Like when you think about capital gains taxes, it's double taxation because like when you make the investment, you're doing it on money that you've already paid tax on. So this is double taxation. But even more, okay. So first of all, the government tries to spin this as trying to make things more fair, but then they're going after, the sale of an asset or investment that someone has already paid tax on. So double taxation to me does not sound fair to me at all. But the second thing is here, they're kind of framing this like tax, this capital gains tax hike as a way for them to like balance the budget. Well, a couple of things to say there. Number one, they just imposed a massive tax hike and they're still running a $40 billion deficit. It was like what I said off the beginning, like, how are you even managing to do that? Like, what? Like, how are you even managing to do that? But the second thing is here is like, this government is spending more than $500 billion this year. Okay, the tax hike will bring in about $6.9 billion. So let me do the math real quick. Beep, boop, beep, boop. That means that Trudeau is going to blow through that extra cash in less than a week. In less than a week, he's going to blow through that extra cash. Okay, so
I'm
clearly
sorry for laughing. It's not funny. I'm just amazed. Go ahead, Franco.
So yeah. Clearly, the Trudeau government does not have a revenue problem. It has a spending problem. And you know what, Chris? Between me and you, I think the government could win the lottery every single day and still max out the credit card.
Yep. Yep. That is astonishing. I did a debate the other day. So just keep that in mind, folks. The amount of money, let's really put a point on that. The amount of money that the Trudeau government is going to rake in with its genius new tax on capital gains, which is, again, your after-taxed money. Okay, so this is double taxation. That amount of money, they're going to burn through that in less than a week, meaning this will still be the latest episode of this podcast by the time Trudeau's finished spending that. That is astonishing. Okay, this is it does get depressing, but I think it just highlights the fact that we really need folks to speak up. Is that what you would suggest as your taxpayer pro tip? Are we there, or do you have other goodies that you want to horrify us with from the federal budget?
No. Yeah, let's go to the taxpayer pro
okay.
tip.
I'm kind of done hearing this horror story at this point.
Yeah, let's do the taxpayer pro tip. Okay, so, you know, right now you have all these members of parliament, especially if they're in the government, right? Because, I mean, like, it's no surprise, the poll numbers are worse than worse, you know what I mean? So, like, they're all very worried. And so now would be a great time for you to send an email to an MP, it doesn't matter what party they're in, right? If they're in the Liberal or NDP party, to be like, hey, I'm so sick and tired of this massive deficits, this massive debt, the fact that the interest charges on the debt are costing taxpayers more than $1 billion a week. Now would be a great time to send them an email, give them a phone call, because they're all kind of like anxiously waiting around, trying to see how Canadians are going to, you know, buy this budget that they're trying to sell. And it'd be great for you to send them an email and be like, yeah, we're not buying it. One more thing. And if you have a conservative member of parliament, well, you hear the conservatives saying, you know, we're going to fix the budget. Okay, that's great. Awesome. Love to hear it. But you got to push them and remind them that if they ever do form government, it's one thing to talk the talk, but they better walk the walk. So regardless of what party your member of parliament is in, now would be a perfect time to send them an email about the budget.
Awesome. Excellent taxpayer pro tip. Mine also goes out to our taxpayer army, and it's a combination of activism and just reassurance that they're not the crazy one. Okay. So when you hear things like the finance minister standing up on her hind legs and proclaiming that this is a budget for future generations, and you see ministers in the government saying that they're doing this for your own good, you know, blowing your money, you're not the crazy one. Okay. And it is actually your responsibility to stay sane and to say, no, this is wrong. Blowing this amount of money every single week on interest payments on the debt, way out in left field when it comes to a deficit, a $40 billion deficit. Come on. I need to stress. I was around the hill for an awful long time. I do not recognize this Liberal government. This sure as heck is not former Prime Minister Jean Chrétien or Paul Martin's Liberal government, because it is unrecognizable. And so for folks who are listening to this thinking, gosh, how can they say things like this? Am I going crazy? No, you're not. The government is trying to take a page out of Orwell's warning book, and they're trying to use it like a manual. Okay. Same sort of thing goes when you probably heard the clip that Franco and I posted a couple of, you know, I guess it's about a week ago now, where Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tried to insist that you only actually get hurt by the carbon tax, thus pay the actual carbon tax, if you live in, let me get this straight, a gigantic mansion with an indoor swimming pool and three big personal cars. If you heard that and you shook your head, you're right for shaking your head, because that's delusional. That's not true. The average Alberta family will be out more than $900 this year. That's a fact. That is after rebates net factored in from the parliamentary budget officer. So it's just a bit of encouragement, folks, that if what you're hearing sounds like the Twilight Zone, you're not the crazy one. It's the government trying to spin you, and it is your responsibility, picking up on what Franco said, email and phone your member of parliament. Don't care what color the jersey is, but tell them that you've got their number.
Hey, Chris, should we play your wealth tax debate for everyone?
That's a splendid idea.
All right. Well, hey, folks, thanks for listening. And Grant, roll the footage.
It's what's happening right now. This is the Mike Smith Show.
Good morning to you. This is Mike Smith. It is budget day in Canada. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland set to bring down her budget this afternoon at approximately 1 p.m. our time, but we're going to get you set up for the budget right now. It is our great wealth tax debate today. I've got two awesome guests standing by on this. Both sides of it for you. We'll have your calls on the open line after the break. Is it time to tax the rich in Canada? Now, the budget today, widely expected to include an income tax hike on Canada's top wage earners. Now, which income tax bracket will get hit by a tax hike today? Have a listen to Chrystia Freeland here speaking the other day.
We remain absolutely committed to being there for hardworking middle-class Canadians, and we won't raise taxes on them.
Okay, so she will not raise taxes on the middle class, as you heard her say there. Widely expected, though, that the top class of wage earners will get hit by a tax increase today. This is going to set up a big tax fight in Canada potentially today. Have a listen to Pierre Poilievre here, the leader of the opposition Federal Conservative Party.
We believe that a dollar in the hands of the person who earned it is always more powerful than in the hands of the politician who taxed it.
All right, let's discuss it now. I got both sides for you. Derek O'Keefe, we're very pleased to welcome him back. Derek is a Vancouver writer and activist. You can find his work at Ricochet Media, where he's written on the need for a wealth tax in Canada. Derek, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Appreciate it. Chris Sims on the line. Chris is the Alberta Director of Canadian Taxpayers Federation. Chris opposes a wealth tax in Canada. Hiya, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Okay, thank you to both of you for doing this. Derek, let me go to you first. What are you hoping to see in this budget when it comes to income taxes? You want to see a tax hike on the top wage earners, right?
Well, the article I'd written, I believe you contacted me about, was with respect to wealth taxes in particular. I'm not holding my breath for the federal Liberals to introduce a serious wealth tax. This would be a surtax on the super rich. I don't expect much because the Liberals are a party of the rich, like the Conservatives. Of course, those are their financial backers and traditional base of support behind the scenes. This is a party of Bay Street. But I do think they're under pressure to do something. And it's clear that it's the super rich that should pay. And this idea has a long pedigree from Deuteronomy all the way to Donald Trump. When he first was running for president in 1995, a short-lived bid, he was proposing a 14% levy that would have raised $5.7 trillion, a one-time levy on all the billionaires, including himself, in the United States. So this is good politics. And because we live, as labor historian Jane McKelvey wrote in a note yesterday, we live in a vicious new gilded age. And it shouldn't be the working people who create wealth who bear the burden. It should be the super rich who have accumulated great fortunes, especially since the start of the pandemic. I think it's time to make the rich pay.
Chris, what do you think? Time to make the rich pay? Your thoughts?
Well, it's one of those things, right, where it just sounds great on the surface of it. I think I'm safe in saying I don't think a wealth tax would affect any of us on this call, probably not a lot of your listeners. But the problem with it is that it just doesn't work. So a few things. One, super uber duper wealthy people know where to put their money. They have teams of accountants and lawyers that will just move their money around, or they will just pull up stakes and leave altogether. France tried a wealth tax, and I forget exactly how he put it, but the French leader said something to the effect of, well, this didn't work. We turned into Cuba just without the sunshine. And it was the parliamentary budget officer. Now, these numbers were a couple of years back, but the parliamentary budget officer did the arithmetic on this stuff. And he said, okay, that sounds fine and good to have a wealth tax. The problem is, at the rate of spending, the Trudeau government would blow through that in a month. So what happens the other 11 months per year? So again, totally understand on the surface why it sounds great. Like, go grab the guy with the big bag of money and turn him upside down and shake him. The problem is he'll either just run away, and or this government will just blow through it too fast. So we would take the opposite view and say that they need to reduce taxes, especially on working people. And again, this is why we are begging and pleading this government to scrap the carbon tax and balance the budget.
Derek, what do you say to that?
I mean, well, the ultimate carbon tax is a wealth tax, because the wealth are exponentially have a bigger carbon. The wealthy have an exponentially bigger carbon footprint. Yachts, private jets, the lifestyle. If you want to tax polluters, you tax the super rich. The richest person in British Columbia, Jim Pattison, has a significant part of his fortune in the coal port, exporting thermal coal to foreign markets. A carbon tax, a real carbon tax, would be to tax the rich, tax the polluters, tax the Jim Pattisons and the coal barons of the world. And there, you know, I'm sort of. It's interesting to hear the Taxpayers Federation, the argument against. So we agree in principle, we should tax those with the most money. But the argument against it is just that the rich will try to avoid taxes. And I that's an unfortunate view of the elite, and sort of disparaging them. I mean, there is an organization
called Patriotic Millionaires.
Well, no, it's not. It's not just a fact. In Norway, they increased the wealth tax slightly by a few percentages of a percentage point in 2022. And the rate of exit would have needed to be 15 times higher than it actually was to offset the increase in revenue. That is, millionaires did leave Norway, but not at a rate that actually decreased revenue to public coffers. And that's from a new book called Enough by Luke Hildyard. So people have studied this. And of course, the answer is not to not tax the rich. It's to crack down on tax evasion. and to do things like have an exit tax if they do try to take their wealth out.
Okay, Chris, go ahead. What do you say to that argument that, you know, I've heard this before, that if you crank up taxes too high on the wealthy, they're going to pack up and leave, and that maybe that hurts the economy if people are here not running businesses? Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly what happened in France. And so that is why I brought up France as an example. And it's, you know, that's a major country. We can compare ourselves to it. I would also point out that it's two pronged. One, it is, of course, the wealthy just leaving. Keep in mind that also the wealthiest among us are often job creators and innovators, right? They don't spend, I don't imagine, all of their time on their yacht by the pool, not doing anything. So then they would take away some of those jobs and in innovations. But two, it's double pronged. It's the spending. It's the spending. So the Trudeau government has pretty much doubled the debt. Like their spending is like a frat house level of discipline here. And so that's why we're saying you're just trying to scoop up this money in a bucket, but there's a huge hole in the bottom of it. So this is where we're saying is you can say all you want that you want to go after the people with all the money, but they're going to blow through it so fast that it won't achieve the results. Dr. Thomas Sowell, brilliant economist, said you should always ask three major questions. At what cost? Compared to what? And what hard data do you have to back this up? And so that is why we're saying, guys, a wealth tax wouldn't work.
Okay, Derek, quick response from you. What do you think about the rate of spending here? I mean, this government has been spending a ton here, and as we get closer to an election maybe next year, it could even go up even higher. But is this level of spending in Canada sustainable?
Well, I think that the rich are living beyond our means. I mean, everybody knows Galen Weston is fine, and consumers that depend on his groceries are squeezed. I mean, this idea that the rich are going to flee, their wealth comes from Canadian workers and consumers in Canada. Is Jim Pattison going to pack up and leave? His coal port's not going anywhere. His forests that he owns aren't going anywhere. The loggers that make his money aren't going anywhere. And the consumers that spend at his grocery stores, that's where the wealth comes from.
In terms of
spending rates, I mean, we need more investment in public services. We need more investment in public transit. You don't like the carbon tax? Well, let's tax the billionaires, fund public transit. We can eliminate fares on public transit. There's a million things we could do, and we need more public investment, not less.
Okay, Chris, super quick response from you, and then we'll fit in some calls here. Go ahead.
I would love to have coffee with Derek for several hours and try to hash this out. But he mentioned, you know, Galen Weston and Jim Pattison and then the logger. There are a handful of Galen Westons in Canada. There are so many thousands of the loggers that he just mentioned. It's the loggers and the mechanics and the truck drivers who are paying through the nose for things like the carbon tax, which is increasing their cost of living.
We're talking about the wealth tax. They're not going to be paying that.
I know, but what you're saying, so you're trying to then say, let's tax the wealthy so we can take that money from them and then give it to the logger? The logger doesn't want that money. He wants more of his or her money kept in his or her wallet.
Okay.
Why are we looking at
workers are creating
down?
The money in the first place. The workers are creating the value in the first place.
All right, guys, I'll jump in there. Perfect spot for our break here. Let's fit it in as we must do, and then we'll come back with more. It's our Tax the Rich debate this morning, getting set for your budget coming down this afternoon. Widely expected to include income tax hikes on the top wage earners in Canada. Derek O'Keefe and Chris Sims are my guests. Open the phone lines now. Phone me on this now. What do you think? Is it time to bring the tax hammer down on the wealthy and the top wage earners in Canada? You tell me your thoughts on it. 604-280-9898 is the number to call. 604-280-9898, *9898 on your cell. Derek O'Keefe, Chris Sims are my guests. This is Mike Smith, back with your calls.
At Blue Shore Financial, we know your financial goals are as unique as you are. Our team of expert advisors will work with you to create a personalized plan to grow and protect your wealth. From financial planning to full-service personal and business banking, wealth management, investments, and mortgages, we have everything you need to achieve your goals. Enjoy a premium banking experience with attentive service, insider tranquil branches, virtually or when you call. Achieve financial wellness at Blue Shore Financial.
Creating a room in the attic is a great idea.
Ah! Unless you have squatters.
Uninvited animals in your home? Contact Westside Pest Control for fast, safe, and effective removal. Now serving communities from Whistler to Chilliwack.
It's too hard. I can't do it. It'll take too long. It's too expensive. I hate to say it, but you're right. If you don't use End of the Row Flooring Centers, we make it easy and super affordable to update your floors. Plus, we're a stocking dealer, meaning it won't take forever to get them done. Use our visualizer at endoftheroll.com to see just how easy it is to see the results. Estimates, installations, flexible payments, and tons of choice. It's easy. Find out how easy during the Flooring Made Easy event at End of the Row Flooring Centers. Let's get flooring.
Savor the sounds of summer at the PNE Fair Summer Night Concerts, now hosted on the Chevrolet stage at the Pacific Coliseum, featuring Amanda Marshall, with Serena Ryder, John Fogerty, the Pointer Sisters, with the Commodores, Blue Rodeo, and Bare Naked Ladies. The PNE Fair, August 17th to September 2nd. Tickets on sale now and include admission to the fair.
Hi, I'm Bob at Drain Rock Industries. When you need a video inspection of the drainage system for real estate purchase and sales or drainage replacements and upgrades, call 604-582-7522. Drain Rock Industries, your family-owned drainage specialist.
We all believe in the possibilities of tomorrow. And at Easy Financial, we're here to help you every step of the way. If the banks aren't an option, we can help get you approved for a loan in as little as 10 minutes. And with our personal, home equity, and auto loans, you can choose the loan that's right for you, so you can start rebuilding your credit for a better tomorrow. Apply today without affecting your credit score at easyfinancial.com or at over 400 locations and find out how much you can qualify for. Easy Financial. Better tomorrows.
Hey, it's Alan Cross from the Ongoing History of New Music podcast. Your next favorite podcast could be waiting for you right now on the Curious Cast podcast network. Like Issue Zero, superheroes, supervillains, sci-fi, and more. Join host Fred Kennedy on an epic adventure into the real stories behind the characters, movies, and comics we love. From music to history to true crime and more. It's all waiting for you now for free at CuriousCast.ca and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Here's a quick tip from Sunquest Mobility. Choose a toilet seat riser that considers the user's height, weight, and mobility, and the height and shape of the toilet to ensure a safe fit.
Now, the Mike Smith Show continues.
All right, getting you set for the federal budget this afternoon. It's our Tax the Rich debate. Derek O'Keefe, Chris Sims, lots of calls. Scott in Surrey. Hi, Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning to you, Mike, and your guests. What I would refer everybody to is a thing called the Laffer Curve. The Laffer Curve was a formula devised that shows at what point taxes stop working, okay? If you tax at 0%, you get zero revenue. You tax at 100%, you get zero revenue. So there's a thing in between there. And we are basically, we've already hit the Laffer Curve, right? We're hearing it every day. And the rich are going to turn around and they will move their money. Mm. They have the ability to do that. End of story. So okay. I would suggest, you know.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's get Derek's response on that. Derek, I guess it's probably easier than ever to move your money around the world. Your thoughts?
Well, sure. I mean, the rich could already go to lower tax jurisdictions. Gerard Depardieu famously moved to Russia. He didn't want to pay his taxes, contribute to French society. I mean, we can all, but, you know, I think many, even of the super rich, I was going to mention earlier, there's an organization called the Patriotic Millionaires, and Erica Payne, one of the founders, spoke last month at the UN and said, if we don't address the twin crises of wealth concentration inequality, we'll see a wholesale dismantling and death of liberal democracy, justice, and basic human freedom. That's a millionaire who is banded together with other millionaires arguing that the super rich should be taxed. So, of course, there's jurisdictional issues. There's chasing the money. There's cleaning up tax havens. There's all that work to do. But if the rich in Canada want to move to a low tax jurisdiction, they can already do so.
Okay.
And, you know, I think this notion that that everyone's going to leave on a very marginal increase in the tax rate. Is just false. We have an example, Chris. In BC in 2018, the school tax was brought in. Yeah,
Chris, go ahead. Chris, go ahead. Your thoughts.
again, we share the concern about the lack of democracy and creeping authoritarianism, but we would think that that would come from things like bigger government, more control, higher taxes. And we're urging the opposite. We want much, much smaller, more accountable government and lower taxes, because the vast majority of us are those working people and the middle class, even though the minister responsible couldn't define it herself. There's way more of us than there are for that little tiny handful of rich people. And we just don't understand why there's this fixation on trying to squeeze more money out of that very mobile, tiny handful of rich people instead of reducing taxes and reducing spending for the rest of us and getting more fiscal responsibility in Ottawa. Again, you know, they could balance the budget. The Trudeau government could balance the budget if they simply referred back to 2021 spending levels. Like, that would be so simple.
Squeeze another call in. Scott in Surrey. Hey, Scott, go ahead. Brent in Kelowna. Hi, Brent.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you know what, Mike? This is socialism 101. This is what happens when you have activists running your country. Let's be real here. Like Kevin O'Leary said, we could be the richest country in the world, but we're run by morons. And the truth is, the rich will leave this country. Why would they do business here if they're, you know, these are the most successful people in the country that employ so many people. If they're going to get taxed for being successful, they're going to go to a country that embraces someone who's successful, not the other way around. This is so backwards.
Okay, Derek, go ahead. Your response to him.
Well, I just want to say we have an example of a surtax on the relatively wealthy with the school tax in BC, which is implemented in 2018. It's a 0.2% surtax on the value of property over $3 million, and then a 0.4% increase on the value over $4 million. There was a big hue and cry over that, but it neither crashed the housing market nor forced a mass exodus of people from their homes. It raised additional money from those who had greater financial assets and abilities to pay. We've always had a progressive tax system with marginal tax rates. During the highest growth decades from the 50s to the 70s, we had tax rates upwards of 60%, the highest marginal tax rate. Closer to World War II, during World War II and in the years after, we had top marginal tax rates of over 90% in both the United States and Canada. Did the leaders of industry flee the country in those years? No, they contributed to the war effort in the case of Canada and the United States. And, you know, there will always be, there is an entire industry for wealthy people to hide their money from the tax, from the public tax collector.
Chris,
and we need to crack down on that, not appease it.
Just about out of time. Chris, you get the last word. You got 30 seconds here. Go ahead.
Again, just the rate of spending and the utter lack of fiscal discipline here is shocking, both in Ottawa and in Victoria. Very soon, our debt interest charges, meaning what we have to pay on our $1 trillion plus debt, is going to outstrip what we spend on health care in Canada. Further, British Columbia has absolutely no business running a $6 or $7 billion deficit. They're literally sitting on so much wealth. The lack of fiscal discipline is shocking here.
Guys, thank you for a really great conversation. We got more calls coming in. I would love to do it again. Thanks for your time today. Derek O'Keefe, Ricochet Media. That's where you can find his work. Chris Sims, Canadian Taxpayers Federation. My great thanks to both of them. Take a break here. Bottom of the hour. When we come back, the viral rant about Canada by conservative talk show host Bill Maher. We'll play some of the highlights for you. Great guest on it next. Don't go anywhere.